Welcome to The Mic Is On, episode 65 with Aubrey Roberts. Well, today's episode brings us something different that we have not ever had here on this podcast. And that is the story of a collegiate athlete, Aubrey in this case, who is still playing, but has played two different sports over their college career. Yes, this story, Aubrey's, starts with indoor volleyball, and it's ending with beach volleyball, as Aubrey is a co-captain of the 2024 Pepperdine Women's Beach Volleyball team. Very impressive. But the story did not start out like that, and she has perhaps the most interesting collegiate athletic story I've been able to find so far here on The Mic Is On in the first 60 plus episodes. Now, the other thing about Aubrey that you are going to hear today is how impressive a person that she is. She's 22 now, playing beach volleyball, but in this interview, I mean, she sounds like she's done hundreds of them. This is why I was so interested in getting her to come on in the first place, because I knew her story was interesting. It has twists and turns like so many people's do when they're in college. But this one is different, and I know you will be very impressed listening to Aubrey talk about everything she has been through and is still going through in 2024. You are going to enjoy listening to Aubrey Roberts here on episode 65 of The Mic Is On. Okay, today I am here with Aubrey Roberts, and as you'll hear coming up, Aubrey has had one of the more interesting college careers when it comes to being an athlete and visiting multiple sports and over a time frame that, of course, includes COVID. But before we get to all that, let's welcome Aubrey here. So, Aubrey, welcome to the Mic Is On podcast. How are you doing today?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing well. Just finished a long week, so I feel good.
This is a great time to be talking to you because this is the month of February, and this is the month that your sport, which is, we'll tell everybody, beach volleyball, is about to start popping off for the 2024 season. So before we talk fully about beach volleyball, let's actually go back to high school. You graduated in the class of 2019. You were a volleyball player in high school. When you graduated, obviously you were prepared for where your next step was at. But when, so I know it was like only 4 years or 4.5 years ago, but when you graduated, what was your thought process of what you thought the next 4 years were going to look like?
It definitely was not where I am now. I was playing club volleyball throughout high school and basically was advised to look to the East Coast, playing D3 smaller schools because I was a very undersized player. So all of my recruiting focus for my next 4 years was on like high academic schools on the most likely on the East Coast, just because that's where they tend to be. And I had never had the thought in my mind that I was even capable of playing at a Division I school in California. I think they were hyped up a lot at the time. So when I was getting recruited, so I just left them alone entirely until I had a coach just say, why not just try? You could just send an email, just see if they'll come watch you play. So things switched up a lot, but I wanted to stay in like a high academic setting. And Pepperdine, when they offered me, I was getting the best of both worlds, being able to play Division I, staying in California, which was ideal for me, and staying at a high academic place. So that's what ended up happening, playing, getting recruited to play indoor volleyball at Pepperdine.
So you graduate in June of 19 and then obviously start at Pepperdine at the end of that summer, which was the 19-20 school year, which of course anybody who's been in school knows that was a year where things were very interesting. But at the beginning of that year, regular indoor volleyball being a fall sport, you know, how did that freshman year go for you as far as just getting used to the whole college life, Pepperdine, and then at that time, indoor volleyball and playing it at the collegiate level?
Boy, it was really a big culture shock, which I was not prepared for. But I'm really grateful, like to this day, looking back, that I had a normal college freshman year experience, at least that first semester. entirely normal pre-COVID. And being able to jump right into season was super fun. I was able to actually move in early. I moved in the beginning of July and started a summer class just to meet other student athletes that were freshmen and to start training with the team early. It was a lot easier than I thought to move somewhere new, but it wasn't too far, which is why I think I was able to adjust quicker. I had gone to only small religious schools growing up before going to Northgate. Northgate was my first time at a public school. So going back to a small private school was really weird, but it's obviously something I was used to. So the adjustment wasn't too bad. And I also didn't, it was also the first time I was going somewhere where I didn't have like at least one friend, you know, with you, kind of how we all like to move in our little packs. I didn't. And so I was lucky enough to also have like that built-in friend group by being on a team, which I'm super grateful for. So my adjustment was relatively smooth for being a freshman in college and getting to have the normal freshman experience, like the dorms, everything like that before COVID. So I'm really grateful for that. It wasn't too bad of a transition.
So your freshman year went, as far as the volleyball season, was normal, meaning that the season went off, it was fall season. You know, in the spring, of course, at the end of the winter seasons for basketball and everything else is when everything first started. Now, for you and for the other fall sports athletes, do you remember, and I know it seems, well, it does kind of seem like a long time ago now, do you remember what your thought process was right when everything first happened? Because I think that none of us thought, oh, the next year is in question. It was just like, oh, okay, like, what's going to happen for the end of this school year? But do you remember what you were thinking back when that occurred?
Yes. So just hearing little rumblings of COVID, we were pretty sheltered. Where Pepperdine is in Malibu, it's already a geographically isolated place. So we were kind of just like, man, whatever. But we are next in technically in LA County, which obviously, you know, was a huge county that got hit by COVID and it was hit really like hard and quickly. And so Pepperdine acted accordingly. They acted very swiftly about it because mobilizing our campus isn't too hard. Like getting people to just leave wasn't actually that difficult. So it started with regular students. And then athletes were actually the last group of people on the campus to leave. We were kept an extra 3 weeks after the whole school had been sent home. So that was interesting. And it was kind of fun, but it was also, we didn't know at the time, but a preview of what the next year would look like. The next academic year was just athletes on campus for almost a full calendar year, which I lived in, which was really interesting and had its fun times, but it was obviously really weird. But I was not expecting any of the changes that the NCAA was going to make with the seasons, like spring becoming the next year's volleyball season. Like the calendar in my mind, like becomes mush. Like I don't remember how everything flowed because all these decisions were being made in real time and we were all just reacting to it. So the eligibility, like getting an extra year of eligibility and having that impact also my looking forward in college was a huge deal. So it was a crazy time for sure.
Now, Aubrey mentions the eligibility deal, and we have spoken about this on a couple of other episodes with athletes that are involved in this. And the wild thing is that really you're in the class, the last class that will ever, or I guess, yes, now that we'll ever really have to deal with this. So your freshman year, which was done for your season, we're explaining this for people who aren't sure out there about what we're talking about. So your freshman year was officially done for the season, but not the entire school year. So the NCAA, for anybody that was playing any kind of athletics during that year, granted an extra year of eligibility if it was wanted. And this runs the gamut from whatever sport. So when that first happened, did you think, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll need this? Or was it just like, oh, okay, I guess I'll see what happens? You know, because that was something that had really never occurred.
Yeah, that decision, I didn't even react to the whole extra year of eligibility situation because I was like, that doesn't apply to me. Like, I don't need an extra year. I'm going to graduate in 4 years. I'm going to move on with my life. But obviously, so many other things happened just in athletics. And then my decision to do an extra year of school with that eligibility and just basically extend what I was already planning to do, adding a minor, doing all that. Like that whole decision was something I didn't make till later on, like after the decision to grant extra eligibility was made. So at the time I was like, oh, cool. Glad some people have extra eligibility. I don't plan to use it, but I ended up using it because here I am still in college.
Now, you finished the freshman year, and obviously most people, when they start the freshman year in volleyball too, you were not expecting, okay, I'm going to be one of the leaders of the team or anything like that. But then craziness happens, COVID, and the volleyball season gets moved instead of fall of 20 to spring-ish of 21. With all that had transpired, you mentioned already you were staying on campus with most of the other athletes. What were your expectations for your second year? Did you expect, oh, I should play more, I will play less? Because the recruiting part was also all haywire, right? Like what had happened for the incoming freshmen. So take us through that from your perspective. Then, like, okay, so we've been on campus all year. Now we get to play. What did you think was going to happen?
I wasn't completely blindsided by how my freshman year went. Again, it was a normal season. I knew being a freshman, being a later recruit, and in the position I was specifically in as a defensive specialist, which is usually the last to be recruited anyway, I wasn't expecting to be a leader on the team. I was not expecting that. My coaches were very communicative about that. They always were laying out expectations and roles for people. So I knew what I had in front of me. And so the sophomore year, when that came and whether or not we were going to have a season, because I was already back on campus in the summer of 2020. So there was like no athletic activity happening. Like no one was playing games. Nobody was in season. It was this weird purgatory situation where we had all these athletes in one place, limited in what we could do, but nobody was in season. So everyone was confused about what to expect for their seasons. But my expectations were, okay, I'm not a freshman anymore. Because you get some of the grunt work, you get some of the bottom of the barrel, like mindset. You're just like, I just have to put my head down and work. And sophomore year is the same. Because if anything, it's like you get new people coming in because there's like freshman phenoms all the time. And Pepperdine is great at recruiting. They always bring in really talented freshmen. So I knew it was never going to get easier just because of seniority. So my expectations for myself were also adjusted after going through a full season. But I was definitely seeking a bigger role that I think was coming on gradually and with time and with hard work, as it should. Ultimately, like this happens later on, so I won't get too ahead of myself, but the role just wasn't growing as fast as I wanted it to, which is fine because that line of communication was always open with my coaches. But that ultimately led to my decision that ended up having me here using my extra eligibility in a different sport entirely.
Okay, so then you've sophomore year, right? That's essentially 21 is when that happens. So then your third year of college is the 21-22 school year. Going to your junior season, 21-22, everyone's kind of back on, well, it's a normal campus year as far as schools were concerned. What happened then?
Junior year was a wild one, actually. Like thinking back to it, junior year was my last year of college indoor volleyball. My role grew. I was playing more. I was touching the court more, which was great. We were just coming off of a round two loss in the NCAA tournament. During COVID, the NCAA tournament was crazy, like living in the bubble in Omaha, Nebraska for a week or so, getting tested, COVID tested every day. That was wild. That was such an experience. But our expectation, the caliber that Pepperdine plays, was always to be at the NCAA tournament. And we had taken a loss in the second round against Baylor, which was a team that we were always just right here with, like neck and neck. And so that was frustrating. And I knew that we had a goal coming into the next season, which almost felt like an extremely quick turnaround, obviously, being from a spring season to going back to normal and being a fall season again. So it was almost like back-to-back seasons. So when you have unfinished business and you give people the chance to compete right away again, but give them a clean slate, we obviously had standards and expectations. The level of play that we were at by my junior year with the freshmen that we brought in, now the sophomores below me, and the senior class that we had, was there was so much potential. So it was a great time for me to compete and get better and have my role grow, which was good because in high school, I was never really like, I thought I was so good at volleyball, but then I got to college. You obviously get leveled in that way and realize where you are as an 18-year-old playing with like 22-year-olds. So now when I was a junior, I was actually feeling like I was at my peak of playing volleyball, which is cool to see because you don't want everyone to feel like you peaked when you were younger. So it was exciting. I was like excited with how I was doing. I was excited with how I was competing. And I was seeing some results, but I saw like a ceiling to it that my coaches were saying, like, this is kind of the max. You could get this much better. Like, you could be outdoing this. You could be increasing in this, but this is your ceiling. And that's how it is. And that's how we recruited you. That's our plan. And we're telling you. And I was like, okay, fair. But now I'm going to act accordingly. And I'm probably not going to continue. But that decision wasn't come to very lightly because, again, I was planning to only play 4 years of college. And that would mean I only had 1 year left. So it was really, but I felt that I would be settling if I stayed in that situation. So instead of going to Beach, I actually was in the transfer portal to leave Pepperdine entirely at first.
And then?
I went on some official visits. But again, being a DS and being a junior in college already, it's hard to get recruited when COVID also made the transfer portal explode. And you were also having 22-year-old grad students that were all Americans at one school wanting to go to another like top program. So the transfer portal was a madhouse. It was insane. So that made it pretty difficult. But a lot of the schools I ended up talking to were ones that I had been recruited by in high school. So because I already had some relationship with those coaches. So I went on some visits. And what do you know, I was looking on the East Coast D3 high academic schools, because being an undersized player, having D1 experience, and then trying to go back to them and be like, hey, what about now? Yeah. Obviously, that like it was kind of a fun thing to do, like kind of have that confidence boost for sure. And I went on a visit to a school. It was Emory University. It's in Atlanta, Georgia. Great for pre-med students. And this coach loved me and we were super excited. I verbally committed. And then I get an email from their admissions dean and they're like, you have too many units. We can't take you. And I find that out 2 weeks after I verbally commit. So the whole plan goes out the window. I'm so confused. That was the school I kind of put all my eggs in one basket. It was like the perfect, it seemed like the perfect plan at the time. And it just fell out in like a 2-line email. So that was insane. And I looked around and I was like, well, I just have to accept that I'm not a college athlete anymore. Like, this time's over. I was already in the portal. I basically forfeited the spot on the team and had explained to coach reason by reason why I was leaving. So there was no going back to that. And they're like, this is where you are academically. You're like, you have a lot of units, which is great, but it means transferring is going to be like a bear. And I was like, okay. So I was like, I'm going to be at Pepperdine. I'm going to finish one more year. I'm going to graduate and be done. But I knew that I was not done being an athlete. I had more to give. Again, like my junior year, I was at my peak playing. I was like, I can keep getting better. I'm playing really well. So it was such a confusing time, so stressful. And then it was a joke, actually, with some of my friends on the beach volleyball team, because our teams were pretty close. They were like, you should just play beach. That'd be so funny. And we all just like laugh about it to this day, that I like did not think they were serious. They don't even remember if they were serious. And then I emailed the beach volleyball coach, who I had never even seen or talked to for 3 years at Pepperdine. I'd never seen this guy. And I email him and he's like, yeah, like, let's have a meeting. Let's sit down. And that just started this whole process that ultimately got me to where I am now.
So not every school has beach volleyball. Obviously, Pepperdine and most of the West Coast schools do. Yeah, you hadn't talked to the coach, but because it's playing in a different season, had you had ever any inklings like, man, that would be fun, or that seems like something I could do, or because you were playing indoor, because of the level Pepperdine is at, did you ever even allow yourself to give those possibilities anything until this actually happened?
Absolutely not. I had tried playing beach volleyball when I was in high school, early high school, but club volleyball is year round. So I was pretty exhausted from that. And I tried to do this in the summer and it would go into the spring. Like, it's a whole separate calendar to play beach volleyball, let alone like at juniors level when you're trying to get recruited. I tried it once. And I think it combined with already being burnt out from other things. I like hated it. I was like, beach volleyball sucks. I am so bad at it. It's not fun. I just didn't enjoy it. And the type of coaching I was receiving, I was like, I don't get it. Like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how you can be good at this. And I gave up really quickly, but I was still so invested in indoor that it didn't feel like I was giving up on something. Cause I was like, I'm just going this way. Like, this is how I'm going to go to college. So I just let beach volleyball go. And it was such a short-term fleeting thing that I never thought anything of it again, never considered it. until I really sat down with some of the beach volleyball players and they were like, I think you should give this a shot. They honestly talked me into it because I was like, it's not even worth it. I want to play indoor. I'm playing so well in indoor. I don't want to take away from like this upward climb in a sport and all these skills I've been working on, throw them out the window and try to learn a whole new skill set as a 21-year-old senior. I was going to be a senior. So that was a hard decision to make, but it was definitely worth it when I ended up making that decision.
So you meet with the coach, and what is that conversation even like, right? Other than, I imagine it's like, hey, do you want to play beach volleyball? And you say, yeah, I think so. And then like, he goes, okay, then come out. I mean, was it that simple? Because you're already at Pepperdine, right? It wasn't like you had to transfer anywhere. And then, okay, once the decision is made, what are those first steps like as far as then, oh, I kind of have to just do something completely different now?
The ultimate push to, because I was the one that initiated this meeting, was I know I'm not done competing at the college level yet. And I love volleyball. How different can it be? That was honestly like the question I had to ask myself. And also, how bad do I want to still play college sports? And this is, again, before I even think about that extra year of eligibility. At this point, I'm just like, I have one more year like of school. So let's just try this out. So I initiate this meeting. My head coach, his name's Marcio. I love this guy. I can literally talk. I could write a book about how much this guy changed my life in like so many ways. But I sit down in this meeting and I'm just like, look, like I really would just love an opportunity. I felt like I was getting recruited again. I felt like that 18-year-old that was trying to play college sports and was reaching out to a coach, like kind of a shot in the dark. That's how it felt reaching out to Pepperdine at first. So now 3 years later, I've played college volleyball, but now I'm at a completely different program's door. I'm like saying, can you just give me an opportunity? I really just want to compete. I would be okay with any role that you gave me. And I was just so open and honest about it. And this guy is, he's honest. He was like, I didn't recruit you. I don't know how you play. And I have a program to run. I have systems. I have other recruits already. So what are you wanting to offer? He said, what are you bringing to the table here? And I said, well, I can just show you over the summer. Let me train. Let me see what I can do. Let me send you video, like as if I'm a recruit trying to get recruited by you. And he gave me that opportunity. He was like, train over the summer. Let's see. Like maybe I can let you try out in the first 2 weeks of next fall in this, like, cause they go into off season in the start of school, which is different. And it gives me some time. And I was like, okay, I have summer. He's giving me this opportunity to just give him some video. And he said, yeah, we'll reconvene. Like, have a good summer, train hard. If you want a shot on this team, you're going to have to train hard. And kind of gave me that ominous like warning. And I was like, okay, like, thanks. I'll give it a shot. And that's what happened.
So that summer of 22, you know, when you say train, obviously you've been playing volleyball. Where did you do that at? Like, did you stay around school and train with the other girls from or women from the team? Or where do you seek that at?
I was so terrified of the actual beach volleyball players at Pepperdine because I saw what they could do. I started going to their games my junior year. I hadn't even been to any of their events. I started watching. I knew that the Pepperdine beach volleyball program was really successful, has a legacy. It has NCAA championships. It's a high caliber team. So I obviously was not jumping at the opportunity to play with girls that were currently on the team. I was so intimidated. I was like, I don't want them to see how I am now if I need the whole summer to train. So I definitely took advantage of where I live in Malibu. And you go to any beach where there's volleyball nets and there's people playing beach volleyball. I started playing pickup with total strangers that ended up being like people that I built community with that whole summer, which was amazing because there was no judgment. Some of them are doing it purely for fun. Some of them are in high school and they play indoor volleyball and it's just how they condition. And like, and then there's some people that play in like leagues and stuff, but none of them were college players. So it kind of like, okay, Aubrey, like take some pressure off. Like I'm not a college beach volleyball player yet. None of them are. They're all trying to have fun. And then I realized, oh, it's supposed to be fun first. Like, cause you get so locked into trying to get recruited is almost what my mindset was, and save this chance of being a college athlete again. I was trying to literally rescue my identity as a college athlete. So I was like grinding so hard, but these people always reminded me that it was supposed to be fun. And I think they're entirely the reason why I was able to try to develop the skill set that I eventually learned more formally, but like trying to develop it, being able to move in sand, just trying to adjust to that. All your timing's different. All the skills, they're very different. Everything is so much more different than I ended up thinking it was going to be. So that was super humbling, but I had like the best setting and the best people around me that summer to do it.
So you do that. You go into last school year then. When were the official tryouts and how did it go? You know, okay, he's told you, hey, go ahead, get ready. Well, now you're ready. Then what happened?
This is the best part of the story. So it's nearing the end of the summer. I think school starts in 2 weeks. I'd been playing tournament after tournament after tournament. Like I was playing tournaments at this point. I wasn't just training. I was playing in summer tournaments where all the college players are playing in them too while they're home and not in school. So I'm playing against real people. I have video. I started getting some of my old indoor teammates from Pepperdine to play tournaments with me. Again, take some judgment off. I was not courageous enough to initiate these conversations with the actual beach players. So I go into a meeting with him. It's 2 weeks before school starts and I show him all this video. I tell him what I've been doing. One of the coaches, the assistant coaches on the staff actually came and watched me play at a couple tournaments. And he sits down, he says, the amount of work that you've put in, he was like, I don't need a tryout. You're on the team. Like he put me on the team in the summer still. So I was able to tell my friends that were on the beach volleyball team that I'm just on the team and that I'm going to be able to start the school year with them, with my name on their roster. And it was the most elating feeling to have. Like, I cannot even describe the feeling when he sat me down and said, like, yeah, you have a spot on this team. I had never been so grateful. I was so excited. It was the best day ever. And I I literally can't stop smiling thinking about that moment because it changed the trajectory of my college experience. And in this meeting, I said, look, I have 2 years of eligibility left. Let's use both of them. And that was that decision. So it completely altered everything, this meeting and how that summer went.
It's really awesome. And like I said, before I even started recording, you know, I didn't know, of course, any of the details that led to it, right? Because we haven't spoken about it or whatever. But seeing you and hearing you talk about it now, it's really cool because not everybody gets these opportunities, right? Just to even play one sport in college. And then to have, you know, these last few years, which have been nutty, you know, especially for athletics and the whole NIL thing, which we'll get to in a little bit, but it's changed everything. But the coolest part is being able to stay at the school you were already at, even though you thought you were going to leave. So you didn't have to switch that up. Everything's still normal. Now, when you guys officially started practice, so you were on the team, and how does that work? Because for those people who don't know volleyball a lot, it's teams of two when you play beach volleyball, multiple teams of two. You know, how does that feeling out process go when you first start practicing?
Oh my gosh. So that elated feeling I was talking about after this meeting, it got replaced by so much fear and anxiety so fast because I was like, wait, I have to go to practice with these girls that have been playing beach this whole time, got recruited in high school to do this sport and are obviously pretty good at it. So that nervousness was for good reason because I got leveled so hard. I got so humbled by this sport. Offseason is when people grind. It's when everything's harder. The training is more focused. The conditioning's harder. Everything's harder. And these girls on this team, they are absolutely built so different the way they were like, it's going to be hard, but don't worry. Like, just put your head down and go. It's all about ball control. Like, you know that. You know how to do that. And I was not prepared for also the dynamics of a beach volleyball team versus an indoor volleyball team because this is an inevitable dynamic on teams, even though some people say that, oh, we don't have that. When you're in practice, if there's a starting lineup versus not, A side, B side, that's kind of how people would describe it. In beach, it's everybody's on the same level. Everybody's sometimes everyone will play with everybody, like different partners will be switched. A lot of things don't get solidified pairwise until the spring. So the off season is you just grind and you're playing with everybody and everybody's on the same level. It seems like everybody's capable of everything that everyone does. So I was trying to do. Right. So I was first just trying to play catch up. There was a lot of times where like, I didn't even notice this dynamic. This is more something I can see in hindsight. But at the time I was just trying to keep up with the skills because it's just so much more different than I expected. But the training was so specific which I thought was specific to Pepperdine, but it's the sport itself, because there's no play that can ever be structured or strategized the way that indoor is, because it's just two people scrapping to try to put a ball down. So my mindset had to change, my skill set had to change, and then adjusting to the different team dynamic was a huge thing for sure.
And speaking of team dynamic, because of what we have spoken about, your situation where you were already at the school, but you weren't playing with that squad, even though they had told you, yeah, it's going to be the greatest. When you get out there, though, you at that point, in reality, are a senior or a fourth year student, older than most of them, not all of them, but most at that time. How was that? Because that's the part that, forget even volleyball, just the fact that, okay, you're stepping in here, regardless of what your skill level is. You've been here, but you haven't been here. Were you nervous? I know nervous as far as trying out, but to help them to accept you, like, not just as Aubrey, but as like, hey, I can help us be better.
Yes, for sure. I think my relationships with some of the girls already being on a different team and being their friend, seeing how it is to be their friend and to be their teammate, those relationships already changed, was pretty jarring. And I was very aware of my position coming onto the team. I never felt any sense of superiority as a senior, because I felt like a freshman again, and I wanted to behave as such, where you're not like imposing yourself, you're learning, you're pretty humbled by where you are. You feel like a bit like a small fish in a big pond again. I was very fine with that, and I think that helped me adjust well. I think people were hoping I wouldn't be the person that kind of comes in like, oh, I'm a senior, give me respect. Right. Not that they didn't respect me, but I definitely came in at a humbled place and wanted to assure that was how I was coming in and that I was just going to work hard. And people knew me from indoor. They knew I worked hard. They knew that I was seeking more from what I was getting indoor, and that I had like that chip on my shoulder to work hard. So I was trying to earn respect without having to say anything. And I think that went well. But the team dynamic, actually specific to the Pepperdine Beach Volleyball team last year, was interesting, because the oldest returners were our juniors at the time, which we had four of them. And all of the seniors were me and two grad transfers. So all of the seniors were new to the program.
Yeah.
So that was a whole deal. So that made me feel better, honestly, because it was just like all the ones at the top were just like, what's going on? Let's just try to accept. But again, the grad transfers I was with were already really talented beach volleyball players. So, but yeah, the dynamic specific for that year almost catered to the fact that I was new but old.
Now, let's discuss team. You know, so regular volleyball, of course, there's six on the court at a time. In beach, there's only two. But when you guys play your matches, it is five two-person matches that get played, and your goal is to win three. The first team that wins three wins that, but they play all five no matter what. So to determine who the 10 are for any specific team that you are playing, number one, I have so many questions about this because of knowing how other sports work. In tennis, well, there's a ladder. If you're the five, you can beat the four beats the three, and then you move up. Okay, beach is completely different. So was there any choice involved as far as who you wanted to play with? And then how do they determine who are those five teams? Is there like three at the top and then the fourth and fifth, kind of like it's adjustments depending on if two others can beat them? How did that go?
I didn't know what to expect either. And the fall, they get a chance to test some waters in the fall. There's some off-season tournaments that don't count for any record at all. The rules about lineup switching don't apply. You can do a different pair that same day, different partners. So they're able to test a lot of things out in a competitive setting in the fall, which a lot of schools, I'm sure, are very grateful for. And then what varies from school to school is how they make those changes. Like if it is a ladder, if it is super quantitative and tangible, where people are based on like their wins and losses in practice, like just outcomes of things like that. But there's always, of course, just some regular discretion by coaches. There's, if these players have chemistry, like, can they play together? Do they get along? Do these girls hate each other outside of practice? Maybe they shouldn't be partners. Like, that's not the case, but they have to think about things like that, because that relationship with only one other person on the court and you both having to 50-50 equally contribute, there's no getting out of it. Like, I could be a DS and sub into a game and not touch a ball. Like, that can happen. But in beach, you have to be 110% involved in everything that's happening. You're the only one that can enable your partner to succeed, and same vice versa. So that relationship is super important. And that was just solidified to me the more I was getting experience in the sport. But when it comes to our program, it seems that things are 90% quantitative and tangible. They will mark down scores of how games go in practice. They will see who's winning with who's winning against who. And the initial lineup in the spring for home opener, which is what we have next week, kind of sets the tone, because then there's all these lineup rules once the season starts that you can't move up more than one position at a time. You can't, if you come out of one spot and you're completely out of the lineup, you can only go back into that same spot. And then it gets obviously really complicated. Like, I can't even, that's maybe like two of the, like, the hundreds of rules about lineup switches that I'm so glad our coaches understand, because I don't. But when I was new last year, the expectation was, I'm not going to play. I don't care. I'm just here for vibes. This is supposed to be a good time. I'm already having fun. So, and I'm on a team and I'm still a college athlete. That was the ultimate goal, and to have an opportunity. And I had that. So everything else was icing on the cake at that point. So I started out at sevens. I was at our seventh pair for like the first quarter of the season. I was starting to get some opportunities. I was playing sixes, because sixes plays, it's an exhibition, doesn't count for the total score, but you're playing against other schools, which is huge, versus not playing at all. So I was starting to get those opportunities. And then I don't remember the circumstances. I played threes. I randomly got pulled out as an alternate. Again, that rule, like going in. And if I had ever come out, I would only be able to go back in. So I was at the threes at this point with one of my best friends on the team is my partner. Our chemistry was great. Her experience was a lot higher than mine. She was only a sophomore at the time. And the vibes were just up. The morale was high. And obviously me getting this opportunity, I was like, opportunities are what I obviously thrive on. So, because all you have to do is just give me a small chance, it seems like. And ran with it, stayed at the threes, was pretty successful there. And by the end of the season, I finished on our twos. So there was a huge jump in one season from playing, having never played in the fall, learning everything. The spring comes around, I'm not playing at all, was not expecting to, and then kind of climbing up to where I finished. So going into this year compared to last year is very different, but the lineup decisions, I would say, are 90% quantitative and tangible and 10% discretionary from the coaches.
Yeah. And the part that's strategic really in the sport, as you're talking about the lineups, becomes you don't want your very two best players to be playing together always when you need to win three every time you're playing somebody else, because that's great if you win one, but if you don't win three, it doesn't matter for your school's record. So that does play a part. The other question I had, when you say you were with threes and then got moved to twos, do they move your team up to twos, or were they just swapping around people? How did that work?
I got swapped around with a different partner who had been in the ones and twos area. So it was almost like we were meeting each other in the middle of where we both were, just because our chemistry just ended up working. It's funny because she was one of the grad transfers who played both indoor and beach at her previous school, but was definitely an indoor player. So we had that in common. And I think it was funny that our partnership together was never tried until we had two tournaments left in the season, because they were like, why would we put the two indoor players together? That just seems like a recipe for disaster. But it ended up being great. And we won every single game but one together. So we had a great run at the two. And I'm just glad I was able to finish off her college career with her there and my first season where we ended. So that was great.
Okay, so a couple questions. We'll talk about your Instagram at the end. But on your Instagram, of course, there's all kinds of pictures. And Pepperdine Beach has a great either photographer or photographers. All kinds of pictures are always going up. There's a C on your top, I believe it was from last year. Now, normally, I think it was last year. Well, you'll tell me in a second. But normally when you see a C, I'm like, C? That's pretty impressive because I know this is her first year playing beach. Is there a story there, or, you know, because I know I'm not crazy. I know I saw the sea on a couple pictures. So tell me.
So the sea does indicate who the team captain is. Those are from this year. Last year, I was not a team captain. Those are from this year. This year, I was named a captain for this team by player vote. We have two captains this year. One is one of our amazing defenders who's been doing great things for the program at the one position mostly. She's super talented. She's one of the seniors academically, but eligibility wise, she's a junior. You'll get that a lot when people are like, oh, what year are you? It's like, well, that's a complicated question. But for her, she's one of our captains. And then I got voted the second captain this year. So that's the story with that. Another big change from last year to this year.
Well, it's a good thing for sure. Now, when you're a captain in a beach volleyball sense, what does that mean? Because every sport has different meanings for, okay, you're the captain or you're one of the captains. These are things you would do. So for the Pepperdine Beach Volleyball program, as one of the captains for this season, how do your responsibilities change as far as team? Are you then you and the other person, the leader or organizers of team events? How does that work?
I think if I had to give like a job description for it, it would be, that's a good question, because having two captains, it almost feels like our job descriptions are different. I think overall, if I had to say what our general shared tasks are, it's to be to organize things, get the temperature on a lot of things, even just small things like meals, travel, gear preferences, just stuff like that, kind of being representatives toward the coaches and that bridge of communication, I would say is our overall job description. But I think my role as the captain this year is honestly playing off of the fact that, because we know it's not my beach volleyball experience, it's my experience as a college athlete at Pepperdine, experiencing multiple different team dynamics, different coaches, just different experiences overall. I would say that I am trying to be the glue for the team's culture and bridge gaps of communication, conflict resolution, because we are a group of women all competing for a number next to our name on a lineup. So trying to play a role in just orchestrating a good team culture, I would say, is my role.
You know, I think people, by listening and hearing your voice, can tell, like, listen, you're an impressive person when you talk. So you have you mentioned vibe multiple times, but your vibe has always been calm. Like, you have a calming influence when you speak. And not to say you can't get mad, but I am not surprised, having known you. It's awesome. And I think that you should definitely be proud and happy for that. No matter how much
thank you
things happen during the season, but just, you know, it's a good thing. Now, a question about how Pepperdine volleyball or beach volleyball is treated. What advantages do you guys have on campus? Is there certain areas that you can be, or certain, how does that work during the school year for you?
I feel like if you had asked me this as like a freshman or sophomore, I would know more nitty gritty things and less important things. To me now, thinking back to the advantages I've had as an athlete, it would be first access to trainers, treatment, nutritionists, tutors, mental health counselors, at just a text to our advisors or to our coaches asking for one, which is, it blows my mind that we just have these resources at our disposal, especially now being about to graduate and not have them. It's insane that we just have access to these things. Mental health is definitely something that's prioritized at Pepperdine, specifically throughout its athletics and just throughout the student body in general, which I'm really grateful for. I also think our priority in getting the classes that we need, that's a huge thing, because it's a small school and we pride ourselves on small class sizes, but that matched with the fact that our student body has grown immensely after COVID and the whole admissions process became very different. Our small class sizes are still great, but it's a nightmare for people to get the classes that they need. But of course, that's a tale as old as time at most schools, especially big schools. But having that priority as an athlete is great. And also the fact that the Pepperdine staff is really gracious to athletes for the most part, barring like some like random professors that may not just be that accommodating, but the small student faculty ratio is what I was trying to say, is an advantage that athletics will capitalize on because they know how hard it is and they know how much we travel and they know how much, even though we are a smaller school that's pretty high academic, athletics does take up so much time and it takes over so much priority of our time that it's good that we have access to all these professors that are really nice and resources to just bolster everything else around that.
That's cool. That's good. Now, as far as nutrition stuff, is there like an athlete's cafeteria or do you get special, are the things that you can eat that if I was a Pepperdine student, I couldn't just go eat. Let's just put it that. Let's say that. Or we have, or same cafeteria, same store, same everything. Just you might not have to pay.
Yeah, I think that's the bigger thing. I think, materialistically, the food itself is all the same. But if we needed consultation on nutrition, we would have that. We would have access to that as athletes.
Yeah. So, okay. I mentioned NIL. And this is something that anybody who pays attention to any level of collegiate sport has heard about. And the crazy part is that it also is in the time frame that you have gone to college. So from when you started, all the COVID stuff happened, weird seasons happened, but also NIL happened. How did it get brought forth to you personally or the team you were with at the time? Does somebody come in and say, okay, here's the situation, here's different offers or possibilities for you? Because I do wonder this, like literally how, okay, so it's here, but then do reps from companies come in? How has it worked for you or what have you seen?
I think Pepperdine's size, despite its success and being a Division I school, our size and location definitely reflects the NIL exposure that we have. Our highest earning athletes, I would say, are in our highest revenue earning sports, which for us is basketball, men's and women's, and our baseball team also generates a decent amount of revenue. Those are the ones that I believe are getting the most opportunities purely because of the exposure that their sport has. And again, exposure is also growing. We have our partnership with ESPN Plus for almost every event that we do. So more stuff's getting televised, which is great. So that exposure is growing, but I wouldn't say the outreach for NIL is where I think it should be, but I know it's also in its early stages. And also as a sport that is new to NCAA in general, but also being new to being televised, it's us being able to seek out those opportunities that is a benefit for sure. But we're not seeing reps coming or like some of the deals that I see some of my friends playing volleyball and beach volleyball at UCLA or USC are so readily like having access to. I don't believe that we have the same access. But again, I'm sure there's some resources out there that Pepperdine is offering that I'm not aware of because I haven't really been actively looking for NIL deals, even though it's a possibility. I'm kind of just like, well, if someone reaches out, I could just respond. But I'm not actively seeking them out the way that other athletes, I believe, should now that it's passed legislation and everything. So we have our compliance office. We have NIL representatives for Pepperdine students that are already in place and have those roles at Pepperdine in the wake of all of these things. So it's going to grow and it's going to get better. But I'm definitely seeing disproportionately those opportunities go into our higher revenue earning sports, which makes sense. But they are able to make a decent amount of money.
Yeah. Well, and my wonder is, you know, for like, there's something on your Instagram page for small companies like Liquid IV, or not small companies, I shouldn't say. Do they come to the team? How do you even become aware? Like for instance, for Liquid IV, how did that manifest itself?
Liquid IV is a good example of one that I heard from other athletes at Pepperdine because I was obsessed with Liquid IV. I drink Liquid IV all the time still to this day as a representative, not just saying that.
Not just saying it, yeah.
I had already been a consumer for sure. And I had seen one of my friends who was an athlete on the track and field team at Pepperdine because she always had it. And I was like, dude, where are you getting all these? And she was like, oh, I just signed up for their athlete program. And I was like, athlete program? What's going on here? I need to know about this. And it's just something you fill out an application. If they see that your sport, your platform, everything kind of matches up to what they'd want to promote it, they'll do that. It's a much more common NIL situation, given that it's just free product in exchange for promotion versus monetary like income or commission based stuff. That's a little harder to get. And that's also usually coming from bigger companies that are looking for bigger schools, just athletes that are at more higher clout schools, to be honest. So getting free product for promotion, even if it's just a one-time thing, those are the way more common things you'll see that we're not allowed to do that you're also going to see athletes at less high revenue earning sports are able to get. Because Liquid IV is free product for promotion.
That's good. That's good. See, like I say, though, this is all new. Like, you know, it's not like 6 years ago we could have had this conversation. This is something that right. has just begun. And you know, granted, people are listening to this. I don't do video podcasts, but I do love the fact that there is an ASIC symbol on the Pepperdine wear, because yes. I am a big, big ASICs wearer. I love ASICs. They're little, and like I said, I've been wearing them for years. So I'm like, all right, Pepperdine, all right, we got the ASIC sponsorship. And that's for, I'm guessing, most of the sports, but at least for beach volleyball. Yes.
Yes. Actually, we're not the only school that has this situation, but our different sports have different sponsors. Our soccer and basketball teams are Nike. Our baseball team's Under Armour. Volleyball and beach volleyball are ASICs. So it's kind of all over the place. But I didn't know really anything or have any ASIC stuff until I got to college, and now I'm a full convert, having been just given all this gear of ASICs for 5 straight years. It's all I wear now, but happily, because I love ASICs. So it's funny how there used to be so many strict rules around these things, like even posting with stuff we got from ASICs, even though it was our team sponsor, we used to have so many rules about it. It's like, you can't post, you can't tag them, you can't do all this. But now it's like, oh, of course, tag them, like, see if they'll want to do a deal with you, see if the special collection is something you can promote. Like, so the air around all of that is very different, which I think is great. I think I just kind of got, it was kind of introduced at the tail end of my career. So I think it's a huge deal for the younger athletes. Like, I would definitely recommend them do it, but I just don't think it's something that I'm going to invest that much time into, but I think it's really cool.
Yes. Now, we've talked about your extra year of eligibility that you're taking, but also scholastically that year is there as well. So how or what did you change knowing you were, or once you decided, I'm going to do this extra year, what did you do differently academically preparing for this final school year?
It's funny that we now turn the conversation to academics, because academics is always like number one priority for me. Sports has always been secondary.
Right.
You wouldn't know because of how I've been talking about sports and how impactful it is and like how all these new adaptations are in my life. But academics has always been number one for me, and I'm essentially a double major. People are going to clown me for saying that if they listen to this, but I tell people I'm a double major because I'm pre-med at Pepperdine, which is an unofficial thing. It's just your own track. It's just a different set of coursework, but it's not on my diploma at all. It's just something I follow the coursework to be able to take the MCAT, essentially. But that is a lot of additional classes. So I consider it its own major. Pre-med, I'm a psychology major, and I have a sports medicine minor. When I added the fifth year, I was like, what am I going to do with all this time? 2 semesters, because it's not like you're having a fifth year as an indoor volleyball player and you do 1 extra semester. I had to lock into a full academic year to play my full season. So I added a sports medicine minor, which I thought was going to be fun, dandy, and not too hard, because it already overlapped with some of the pre-med classes that I had taken. However, turns out sports med's hard. So that's what I've been grinding on this whole past year, because I finished my psychology major in 4 years, as if I was going to graduate in 4 years. So I had to add that minor. Gave me a chance to spread out some of the pre-med classes that I would have had to overlap, which would have been really difficult. So that was a blessing in disguise. And it was very strategic for me to extend my undergrad to 5 years versus try to do a grad program for 1 year.
Okay. And then now looking forward, right, your final season is coming up. But when you talk about pre-med, that is also something that is also then coming up. So how are you treating that? You know, you have the season you're starting, but you're also trying to figure out, where am I going to go once the season's over? Where are we at with that going into the season?
Yeah, this used to be a question that would make me like cry, but now it's something I actually had to tackle, because I can't be a college athlete forever. It's just not going to happen. So I've had to think about that. I think that time where I say the calendar kind of just like all blends together was also the time that I was in the hardest part of my academic career in terms of the courses I was taking. Organic chemistry, tale as old as time. Everyone's going to say that's their hardest class if they're normal. And physics, all those things. I was taking the hardest classes. I didn't realize they were going to be my hardest classes in hindsight now, but they were. And it was also when everything was so crazy, volleyball wise, life wise, living situations, COVID, everything all together was disguising these super hard classes. Oh, it's just school. It's just the grind. It's just school. So looking, coming out the back end of this and things being able to be a little lighter schedule wise for me, like finishing just some upper division science courses and sports medicine classes for a minor, I'm like, wow, I got through the hard part and didn't even realize it was the hard part. Let me change my wording there. I got through the hard part and was expecting things to be worse, like in this very, very tail end, but I had gotten through the thick of it. So as an athlete, there's no time for me to go out and get these clinical hours that everyone else is getting. I have done some research, which is probably the most that I could do. And even that was stretching me pretty thin. So I've done what I can, but it's pretty inevitable for me to comfortably go into a med school application without a gap year. So that's my plan, is to take a gap year and get clinical work just to build off of everything that I've now learned and am perfectly retaining in my mind. I'm going to take the MCAT this year in the fall and just move to where I can have a clinical job and do that for a year before I apply and become a student for another 4 years.
Well, listen, I don't think it'll be the hardest thing for you to transition because of your mindset, number one, and your experience, right? Like, your experience does play a part in it, and everyone has different college experience. Yours, as we've discussed this entire time, is super unique, both in scholastic and academic, and just putting yourself out there. So I think that will take care of itself. But now looking back, right? So your fifth year, you have students who are coming in now as 18, sometimes 17-year-olds.
Yeah.
How young and little do they seem to you now, even though it's only 5 years difference?
Oh my gosh, this is such a funny question. I was just thinking about this today, actually. We had two extremely young freshmen. One of them's from Canada, so her school like system has her just younger coming into college. A couple of them both just turned 18. And I was like younger too. I came into college, I turned 18 like right before I came to college. So it's funny to think about 18-year-old me. Because honestly, I look at the freshmen now and I think they're really mature. I think they're really developed. I think they're very like mentally and physically like more ready for college sports and just college than I was. So it's weird to see that because I see them almost as like my age. And I think being a freshman as a senior last year also kind of altered that, because my teammate that I am the same age as or is older than me, we have some a grad transfer who's 23. Her and how I talk to our 18-year-old is the exact same. So I'm trying to think and hope that when I was a freshman, the seniors kind of thought of me as somewhat of an equal, but I know they did not, because 18-year-old me was just completely different from how I am now. But I had to be her before I am me now. So it's pretty crazy though to think that we're all playing on the same team, because that's another COVID year thing. You see 24, 25-year-olds playing with 17-year-olds. It's crazy.
And then the other part is, guys, girls, doesn't matter, sport doesn't matter, that are thinking, I think I can do collegiate sports, right? I think I could play at the next level. Knowing what it does take, right? Not just physically, but mentally, and not using just your situation. What is the biggest advice that you could give someone if they were saying like, okay, if I want to play at the next level, what mental makeup, what is the most important thing for me to have taken care of when I go to college?
When they go to college or when they get like recruited for college? Or
either one, whichever one comes to you, whichever one comes to you.
Okay. I think that the fear of being annoying or pesky to coaches should not exist, because these coaches are getting 100 emails a day from all these people that want to play college sports. And there's some people who are the top of their class, like the tallest, the most physical, playing at the best teams. And then there's people like me taking shots in the dark. It's all the same inbox. It's all the same inbox to these coaches. So people have to keep that in mind, and shooting their shot essentially is what I'd say. Please do that, because college athletes more and more are starting to see college coaches taking a more holistic view, which is funny because we see that trend in like grad schools, colleges in general, just like taking the holistic view. But college coaches have always been doing that. I just realized it now that they've always been recruiting that way, having been through two coaching staffs. They're looking at someone who is going to be fine being humbled and being fine realizing that they're not as good as they think they are, because that coach plans to make you 10 times better. So feeling like you're at the bottom, or every time you think something good happens, like skill-wise, you're going to be humbled in some other way. Being open to that is so important, because if you get discouraged in any way and that causes you to distance yourself from the absolute grind that is trying to go play college sports, you can really harm your own process. So I think everyone is their own enemy in their process if they let being discouraged let them shy away from how hard they want to work, because it's not going to be a waste of time. Say you work really hard and you don't get recruited, there's still no waste in putting that much effort into something. Because I know I wasn't always considering, even with some offers, if I wanted to be a college athlete, but I never regretted how hard I worked as a club athlete. So there's going to be no regrets there. And being a college athlete's really hard, but there's always a place for everybody. If you give it a chance, drop your ego for a lot of things. That's the biggest advice I think I'd give.
That's good. That's really good. Now let's jump back to Pepperdine Beach Volleyball, because 19th ranked coming into the season, the coaches poll. Of course, if anybody's wondering, the strength of the beach volleyball teams in this country is all on the West Coast. Yes, there are some teams that aren't on the West Coast, but coming into the season, your final one, what are your goals personally and team-wise? Like, what would you say, like, this is what I want from this year?
That's a good question, because it's funny you ask. So I was just talking to my coach about this today, because from my back injury that I had talked to you before you started recording, I am still in a progression. I'm not 100% go, and it's all just a race against time to have me cleared before our home opener next weekend. So I was sitting in her office today actually talking about this. She said, what are your expectations? And she'd asked me that in a context where I was healthy and it was the summer and it was about to be the start of the fall. What are your expectations? So now I'm a week out from my last home opener of my last season. And she said, what are your expectations? And I was happy to understand that none of my expectations changed despite this little setback. But for this year, it is to allow myself to have goals that may not get reached, because I don't think it's going to be the worst thing ever if I don't win a national championship or if I don't play in a top pair, because my priorities now with sports is to genuinely enjoy it, but not being afraid of setting those goals and just saying like, oh, I just want to enjoy it. Like, I'm not going to set goals. Like, because really that's just a fear of not hitting them. But something I've learned in college sports across both teams I've been on is that having goals is still the only way that you can even come close to accomplishing goals that you even just subconsciously set. So I was like, let's just put them out in the open and set goals so that those can really be my driving force and have something to focus on. Because there's so many things going on in my life as about to enter the adult world that if I just treat volleyball as something for fun, which, you know, it is, then the outcome could be different than if I compartmentalize it as something that I can genuinely succeed in and continue to impress myself in, because that's all everything is. Because the same kid that sat down and just wanted an opportunity to be on this team is now going to try to battle and get us higher up in the national rankings than 19. So going to set goals. Those are my expectations, to set goals, to compete, to continue to not peak yet. And even at 22, a fifth year in college, be playing my best by the end of this season than I ever have.
That's good. That's really good. And, you know, hopefully this episode, this interview will enlighten some people to, hey, beach volleyball, it's a thing. Especially, well, and like I say, on the West Coast, people are pretty aware of it, right? It's just that it's not something that if you go certain areas of the country that people are super aware of because A, there's not a lot of beach access in certain areas, so they haven't just seen it growing up. What is the biggest difference that people you think people don't realize if they're watching people play beach volleyball? What's the biggest difference or surprise they would have of what it actually truly takes to be good or great at beach volleyball?
I'm going to start by comparing. If we lined up the team on indoor from shortest to tallest, I was definitely near the shorter end. And then I come to the beach volleyball team and I say it's literally all a straight line except a few extra tall people that we have. But it's pretty like size shouldn't matter in beach because if you think about the ultimate objective, it's just to find the open spot on the court. And you think there's so much court over there. It's because there is. There's just a lot of strategy to like what that hitter is really looking to do. So it could be the ugliest shot. It could be literally with my fist. If I just poke it over to a corner where no one is, I can beat a national champion. I could beat a USC pair if I did that 9 out of 10 times. So, you know, anyone that thinks that they want or is more academically minded, this is actually not something everyone would agree with. If you're intellectual, you like strategy, if you like playing chess, things like that, you would be really good at beach volleyball if you put in the effort for the physicality aspect of it, because it's all strategy and it's all being able to be aware of your surroundings. So anyone can do it. And I think the playing field is so much more level. And that's why the sport is, in my opinion, more fun to watch, because anyone can win. Anyone's capable of succeeding in the sport. Honestly, it's just about who can out physical the other, who can be more athletic, who can last longer.
Well, and why, when Aubrey's saying about the height, you know, in beach volleyball, of course, the agility factor, you can't just have someone who's out there who can't be agile, because otherwise you're never going to win a game. So
right,
everyone has to be agile, which is why you don't see a ton of height per se. There can be some, right? Some outliers there, but generally not, because you have to be able to do everything. It's not just, oh, I'm just hitting it, or I'm just blocking, or I'm just, you're literally doing everything all the time, which is why I've always felt like, man, it's such a harder sport, right? Because you cannot, like you mentioned before, you have to be good all around all the time. And there's only two of you. And if one of you is having a bad day, that's really a problem. So,
good luck. Yeah.
I always try to give the guests, and you in this case, an opportunity if they have any questions that they would like to ask, because I never want it to come off as I'm asking all the questions. So is there anything that you have a question about today?
I do. Just reflecting back on you knowing me as a high schooler who was an athlete at the time, and you've had a lot of college athletes come out of being like PE students from you. So you clearly have seen us in athletic settings. Have you ever been able to like see someone who's a college athlete now and be like, that kid could really be a good college athlete, or like this person should really try to be a college athlete, or this person's really athletic and vice versa? Like if they didn't end up being a college athlete, but you're like, oh, they could have been a college athlete. Do you think about things like that when you see like PE students?
Yes. Yes, I do. Because, you know, I think sometimes, and this is a bigger picture, like people think like teachers and especially PE, they'll think, oh, they really don't care. They don't pay attention. Like literally my entire life is paying attention to who the students are. I think the vice versa part I think about more. I think there's been more times where I've seen a student come through and I'm like, they're so good at everything. They're not great. Like let's say they're not you know, a fantastic basketball or volleyball player or softball or baseball, but they're a good athlete in high school, but they're just really good at everything, right? So I think more often I've seen someone who I'm like, man, and it's both male and female, both. If this person wanted to, right, they have more heart, more desire, more effort than even top level athletes do, because they literally get the most out of their body. The hard part is if they haven't focused on one or two sports in high school, it's like, what could they do at the next level, right? So I always talk about club sports, especially ultimate, right? Because we have people who are unbelievable ultimate players that come through Northgate, mm-hmm. where, well, yeah, that's not a sport you're getting recruited to play generally, but you could play it at the club level, like Pepperdine has club, every school pretty much does. But the part about, if I look at the athletes who are athletes now, The funny thing is, it all depends on their growth situation, for the guys especially, right? Because I had Mix Romanus, who plays for BYU's men's volleyball team, and he's phenomenal. But when I had him, that was his sophomore year. So he was like kind of just growing. So I mean, yeah, he was a great volleyball player then, but he wasn't like 6'4", 6'5" then. He was literally just hitting his growth spurt. So when I saw him the year after, when he came back to school, I was like, what in the world? Like, this guy grew huge. So in that case, and we've also had some athletes who really weren't dominant at the high school level that then played JC for baseball and then got to colleges after that and then played in the minor leagues, which still is different, right? They were phenomenal PE students and they were very good at their sport, but they weren't highly recruited out of high school, right? But they did have a very successful collegiate career and after. Mm-hmm. So I think that you see both, but the thing I think about more is those who, shoot, man, what could this guy do? What could this girl do in college? Because they are unbelievable, like just that desire, right? The desire. So I don't know if I gave you a specific answer there, but I do think about it. And it is interesting to look back now and see, like you say, for in your situation, I had you for 1 year, your sophomore year. Mm-hmm. The thing that doesn't surprise me at all is your mental part. Because you always seemed level-headed, even when you were a 16-year-old, right? And maybe inside you weren't. Maybe inside it
That's
was crazy.
That's crazy to say.
Maybe inside you weren't. But you were able to have conversations. You were and not everyone is. You know this. Not everyone's able to have conversations in high school with adults or with teachers or that actually involved talking and saying complete sentences, you know, and sounding somewhat educated. So you were able to do that even then. So I'm not surprised at that. Like I say, I think for me, just seeing your experience, like it, those are things that give me such joy because I love seeing people have success based upon them, not because someone else did it for them, not because someone handed you something, because you went and got it. So that was a whole bunch of words. But anyways, yes, I don't know if
that was a good answer, though. That was a great answer.
Now, I have one for you. So Aubrey was in my team sports class sophomore year. I looked back the other day. It was sixth period afternoon, the last period of our day. What memory, is there any memory that sticks out from that year of that class? Like if I tell you right now, do you remember anything about that year? Like what comes to your mind? And it could be anything about sixth period. Like it might be who was near you in the locker room. It might be someone you did not like that was in that class. What things shoot to your mind?
I immediately think of who I had the class with. I think of Maddie Logan. I don't know if you remember her.
Oh, yeah.
And Evan Starr.
Yeah.
And they were like my buddies in the class. And I just remember it was my sophomore year.
Yeah,
right?
It was, yes.
I remember how funny it was that we would still feel so competitive, but we felt like we had to hide how competitive we were. We felt in the like about what we were doing. And it's not like that's a big range. Like Maddie was an athlete in high school, but she wasn't trying to get recruited. And then Evan, he would just was one of those really smart people, but I don't think he was playing any sports at the time. And so you had the whole range, but you had this shared like, oh, I really want to win this. Like, dude, we have to get to PE because I really want to win this. I literally remember that. And it was at the end of the day. So it's really easy to picture kind of like the end of the day being characterized by just having fun. Because I remember I did have fun in PE. Like, it was the only class I thoroughly enjoyed. So it's just funny how the people in your mind will be who sticks out all those years ago. How many years ago is that?
I think it was 16, 17, right? Because I looked back to see what year it was. So
that's crazy.
Right? Because that would have been your sophomore year. Yeah. Yeah. 16, 17. So that is actually quite a while ago if we look back now.
Yeah. But I can remember that. So
of course.
It's crazy.
And you actually brought up something that I don't think I've ever really spoken about here. And I've been asked a lot of questions about PE. Is that is what makes teaching that class so fun, because I know there are people at all levels of competitive nature that are there. Some are just happy to be having their last year of high school PE that they have to do. Some are super competitive in everything. It's fun because that's why we play multiple sports. And then there's some students who I have that take my class 3 years in a row, right? Because they are a four-year PE student. They want to compete every single year. And where else can you go that you have the opportunity, as you know now, like to have an organized competitive situation with your classmates where you can do things that you just can't get together? Like you can't just pick up Ultimate and play it, or outdoor hockey, like on the asphalt, right?
Yeah.
Or even indoor volleyball or disc golf. Now we do pickleball, paddle tennis, all these badminton,
I'm so jealous.
Yeah. But you brought up something, the fact that all three, the people you remember, you were all kind of thinking about it differently, but yet you all would have that competitive juice. And then for some people, it's a specific sport. So like, yes, you're a volleyball player, but maybe it's like, shoot, Ultimate, we got to win. Or it's hockey or whatever it may be. And that's part of what makes that teaching that class so exciting and enjoyable, because you never know who cares, who is going to be willing to show, like you said, who's going to be willing to put it out there. And that's the thing I try to draw out. So even though you weren't trying to, you did bring up something that has never been spoken about in a lot of episodes. So that I thank you.
Cool. You also reminded me, my team got second place in Ultimate. I remember that. That was my memory. We lost in the championship and it was a heartbreaker.
See, these are memories.
You jogged my memory.
You never forget those things.
You don't.
As we finish, your Instagram, if people are wanting to see you, your personal travels through Pepperdine Beach Volleyball or just your life on Instagram, where can you be found?
My @, let me find that. It is Aubrey_Roberts. So people can find that.
Yes. And remember, because there's a lot of Aubreys, and because Roberts is a somewhat normal last name, there are multiple Aubrey Roberts. So Aubrey_Roberts, and I'll give this in the outro too.
Yes. But
you can see her Instagram there. And beach volleyball, you think, well, Hawaii. Well, yes, Hawaii. They get to, I believe it's a tournament, right? It's not a single game. Where is it, a single match? So your team is traveling to Hawaii. That's coming up. You know, how is that, taking the big long flight out there to get some beach volleyball action?
I am so excited. In all my time playing indoor, it was the spring that I went into the transfer portal is when they did an off-season tournament in Hawaii. So I literally was like, oh my gosh, I missed the chance to go to Hawaii, until I found out from the coaches this past summer that they're planning us a trip to Hawaii to have a tournament. It's 3 days. I'm pretty sure playing 2 matches a day. So it's going to be a lot of volleyball. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's during my school's spring break. So it's a fun way to spend spring break. And we're going to get a lot of good competition out there. Some of our West Coast schools we're going to see in Hawaii. So that's kind of funny, but flying all the way out there to play them. But yeah, it's going to be a fun trip. I'm pretty sure the coaches are going to put in a lot of time to make sure it's a fun like trip too, besides business.
Well, listen, Hawaii is always a good place. Well, Aubrey, I want to just let you know, I mean, I've told you during this interview, but I am so happy for you, so proud. And I know beyond this year, right, that you are going to have plenty of success. And I truly say this, I think you may have had, if it's not the most unique college athletic experience of anybody that I know, if it's not the most, it's one or two, because I don't know of anybody else who switched sports at the same school they were at and continued and is playing an extra year. So it's just, it's an amazing situation, and I know that you are taking advantage of remembering all these moments, that you will treasure them, and I just hope you have an amazing year, and thank you so much for being here. But just know, you have fans, you're going to gain more fans, and we're right there with Pepperdine Beach Volleyball, but you should be very proud of yourself, and just know that I am super happy for your situation.
Thank you so much. This was really fun. It's fun to actually talk about it. I haven't really like laid out the whole process in a while to somebody, so it was really fun.
And that is going to do it for today. A humongous thank you once again to Aubrey and her story. I mean, I told you at the beginning it was amazing, and no doubt you've heard it and heard how impressive she is. Let's revisit those addresses on Instagram. For Aubrey, it is Aubrey Roberts, AubreyRoberts underscore. And then the Pepperdine Beach Volleyball page is Pep, P-E-P-P, Beach Volley. Pep Beach Volley. And you can follow their team there. If you want to get in touch with the podcast on email, of course, it's still the same. The mic is on at gmail.com. That's the M-I-C is A-H-N at gmail.com. And of course, Instagram, it is AhniBPE, A-H-N-I-E-B-P-E. Thank you for listening to Aubrey's episode. And if you haven't heard other episodes, listen, now's the best time to go back, check them out. We're here early here in 2024. Almost every episode is evergreen. And as we always say, you're not behind. You're just not caught up yet. We have great things around the corner, so stay tuned in the coming weeks. Have a great day, and we will see you later.